Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, it's Jeff Wicker and Rebecca Wild, and we welcome to the show Corey Kreider, who plays Sergeant Belcore.
Belcore.
Oh, Belcore. Oh, excuse him. Why?
That's all right. I like to say Belcore.
Belcore. You baritone?
I am a baritone.
But you almost sound like bass if you've got this big, deep voice.
It happens to be 9 in the morning, so
oh,
of course.
So,
a little hard getting up for you this morning.
Yeah. You know, that's how it goes.
How earlier, hard is it to warm up your voice and stuff? What is the importance of the voice? Like, can you sing early in the morning or no?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can, but it's always a little more difficult in the morning. But, you know, the vocal athlete has to learn how to be ready whenever they have to be. But that's pretty much the best parallel is we're elite athletes of the voice. So.
And you don't really think about that. But, mm-hmm. I mean, because we were talking about the fact that you guys perform Friday and Sunday, and I was like, what happens to Saturday?
Yeah, we sit around and don't talk and watch Netflix and chill, hopefully, recuperate.
Speaking of Netflix, what are you watching right now? What's your show?
Jeez, I'm just binge watching Frasier. I think.
Really? Are you really?
Yeah, I'm feeling very nostalgic. And sometimes I often travel with my family, my wife and four kids, more often than not. Actually, this was sort of a last minute thing for me, so I just was like, "Love you, see you later." And so I'm by myself. So sometimes nostalgic things like that sort of help me emotionally get through being away from the wife and kids.
When you say last minute, how do you get on with the Virginia Opera? Then they're looking for a role, you fill it, and you come.
Right. Right. I mean, that's basically how it happens. And in this instance, someone had to pull out of the production with rehearsals having already started.
Oh, wow.
So Sunday night, I rolled in at about 1:30 a.m., having driven 11 hours in the halfway was in the snow.
Oh, wow.
Did finally get here. And then the next day, I was in rehearsals, and we were getting it together.
How did you get started in opera? When do you know that you have an operatic voice? How do you train for that?
Well, Kentucky's where the opera singers come from. Everyone knows that. Little rural Western Kentucky. Kentucky, that's what it is. No, I always say it kind of found me. I was ever since I was a kid, I was performing. I was performing for my parents to their chagrin sometimes before I was even, singing. But I always sang too, just growing up in church, I was singing, but never any classical music or anything like that. I grew up on stuff like this. I referenced
Queen.
My
Queen
t-shirt that I'm wearing, and also music in church. But I wanted to, this idea of there's a classical way to sing and you can go and study like the way people have been teaching people to sing for 400 or 500 years. And I was fascinated by that.
Okay.
I wanted to be a contemporary singer of some sort. I got a good academic scholarship to Murray State University. I'm going to see if they'll let me in the vocal department. And
so
see if I can learn how to sing.
So it wasn't until you got into university that you started doing operatic?
And not really even in my undergraduate degree.
No,
I mean, it was
kidding.
more of a general music and voice specific education. I had voice lessons, everything like that. But I was doing everything. That's when I started playing a little bit of guitar and more bass guitar than that, being in bands, student-led renaissance vocal music ensembles. I was wanting to be in a jam band. That's really what I wanted to do when I graduated college.
And doesn't everybody?
Yeah. And my voice teacher, of course, I'm imagining now, as I'm probably older than he was at the time, just hitting his head against the wall like,
what is wrong with you,
kid? This kid doesn't know that he has a particular type of voice that it doesn't just grow on trees.
Yeah.
Then does this special thing. And I kind of knew it, kind of didn't. But then I started auditioning for a couple grad programs, and I got into the University of Kentucky program, and they offered me a role in La Boheme, which is like one of the two operas I had actually taken the time to get a VHS back in the day and watch. And I was like, man, that's kind of awesome.
Right.
And I was like, okay, that sounds fun. So I'll go do a master's degree there. And I was like, oh. And I started getting some attention from the faculty there saying, if you want to do this career, this is your voice fits. It has a lot of special potential to do that. It's going to be a lot of work. It's going to be a hard row to hoe, et cetera, et cetera.
And is that because you waited so long?
Well, actually, that's different for different voice types because of the maturity of the voice.
Okay.
A 22, 23-year-old male is really – I mean, unless he's the highest, lightest kind of tenor there is, mm-hmm. he's kind of just coming out of his cocoon, vocally speaking.
Gotcha.
Oh, that's interesting.
My particular voice, physiologically, will not be in its prime until my early 50s.
Get out of town. Are you serious?
Yeah. And it's actually, it's crazy. It actually has to do with the ossification of the vocal cartilage.
Get out.
It's actually like the thing
I would have thought that. You know, if you didn't ask me what is it, I would have said the vocalization of the cartilage. The
ossification. Whatever.
It's actually the thing that's making everything, that's kind of going awry in everything else.
Wow.
The
makes you a better singer.
Starting to ossify. For a time period, wow. that has a stabilizing effect on the larynx. And for the particular athletic way that we sing, it sort of just floats everything in a stable position in the larynx for stamina and a certain color that you just don't get until your voice reaches that maturity.
So yeah. you'll stay with opera then for a long time. You hope to stay with it and make it a big thing.
I hope, you know, I hope to keep singing as long as I can sing.
Have you done your dream role yet? And if not, what is it?
Yeah, I've given it one shot and I still got plenty of work to do on it. It's Rigoletto.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, The Jester. It's my favorite opera. The depths are endless for this character.
Oh, my
endless
gosh.
Endless depths.
And of course, lots of crying.
Lots of crying. Yeah, and he's a father, you know, who's his love and the mother of his child has died mm-hmm. and all he has in life is this daughter, and the stranglehold that he has is fearing to lose her ends up causing her death.
On that note, maybe I'm crazy. I'm trying to explain to Wicker, because I love opera. Mm. People think opera's going to be, if they don't know it, they're like, how boring. It's
boring.
Opera.
We stand there and throw spears at people, right. and we right. all wear Viking helmets.
Right. yeah. But it is a soap opera.
Absolutely.
They all are. Like, yeah. there's always some drama, and I think that's what people don't realize, that it yeah. really is this amazing yeah. performance. If you're going to watch The Bachelor, you know
oh,
what I
gosh.
Mean? I know, right?
Yeah.
then please come watch some real
yeah.
entertainment.
Yeah, and this particular opera that we're talking about here is just ultra charming, and it's funny, and it's hilarious, and it's a love story surrounded by these the two main characters are the soprano and the tenor, and they're this love story, will they, won't they kind of thing, just, you know, your standard soap opera
right.
or sitcom, and then surrounded by these two foil comic characters in Dulcamara, who comes in, who's sort of like the snake oil salesman,
right,
the con
yeah,
man,
yeah.
and the full of himself sergeant who thinks that that anyone, but especially the soprano that he's picked, is going to just
right.
you know fall head over heels for him.
Hero.
Exactly. when actually she really loves the little bumpkin bumpkin tenor who's with a heart of gold. You know,
right.
It's a super charming and fun, and there are super titles, so even though it's in Italian, if you're like, I'll never understand anything, or if you think people are just standing there and singing, it's the farthest thing from the
right.
truth. We're actors. We're on
yes.
stage. We're doing a quote-unquote play, but it's an opera. You
yeah.
know?
And let me tell you, the performances I have seen for Virginia Opera, you all do a really, really stand-up job. It's just amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
So two shows, Friday at 8, Sunday matinee at 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're out and you're on and gone, right?
Yeah. Go do some more opera. You know?
Do more baritone. I love your voice.
Thanks, man.
You're wonderful. Can you do anything? Can you even do a warm-up for me to hear how you warm up?
Let's do some lip trills.
Oh, I could do that, right?
I'm going to have my agent talk to you.
Yeah.
Oh, please don't.
What a pleasure to have you in here, man. It's awesome.
Likewise, for me as well.
Thanks so much, and good luck with the show.
Thank you very much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.